Well, in the spirit of the new year, this morning, I want to continue talking about your future and our future as a church family. And at the heart of our future is something called church planting. Church planting is when we start new churches in new places to make more disciples of Jesus to the glory of God everywhere. And our hope is that church planting will be both our near and far future. So speaking of our near future, if you were here last week, you know that Lord willing, Andy, his family, and a team of 40 committed adults will lead our third City Light congregation in the Upper Darby Township of Delaware County in the fall of 2019. And so Lord willing, church planting is going to be part of our near future. We already have 20 committed adults and we're praying for 20 more by the end of March. So it's part of our near future. But church planting is also, Lord willing, part of our far future. See, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, "I will build my church." It's a promise. And yet, every local church, City Light included, is an organism with a life cycle of birth, Lord willing, growth and maturation, but then ultimately decline and death. Every local church is just reality, has a life cycle because it's an organism. Yet Jesus says, "I'm building my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." How is that possible? It's possible through churches that plant churches that plant churches to the glory of God. You see, church planting, we pray, will be at the heart of our future because the local planted church is like a trophy case that shows off God's glory like nothing else. The local church, the planted church, you see, church planting's not our future because we just like starting stuff. Church planting, Lord willing, will be our future because the planted church is a trophy case that shows off God's power to reconcile sinners as his sons and daughters through Christ alone, and God's power to unite diverse people as one family in one body under the head of the church, Jesus Christ. That's why church planting is at the heart of our future. And so last week we considered the question, why church planting? But this week we're going to consider a second question. It's our big idea for the morning. How will we plant churches? That's our big idea this morning. How will we plant churches? See, I believe that no matter your life stage or life circumstances, no matter how long you've been following Jesus or how long you plan to be in Philadelphia, that you have a role to play, large or small, in this future of planting new churches in new places to make more disciples of Jesus to the glory of God. Just the question is, how will we do it? Now, to answer that question this morning, we're going to focus in on one church plant in the New Testament that became a church planting church, the church at Antioch. And as we look at Acts 11 and Acts 13, zero in on the church at Antioch, just keep in mind that these are descriptive passages, not prescriptive passages. In other words, we're looking for Holy Spirit-inspired principles for how to plant churches, not, so to speak, prescriptions. So four answers this morning to the question, how will we plant churches and what role will all of us play? So first answer, how will we plant churches? Through ordinary people sharing the gospel and life. Through ordinary people sharing the gospel and life. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 21. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Okay, so what's going on here? The church at Antioch was started because of persecution. So the martyrdom of Stephen was part of a larger persecution going on in Jerusalem, and it led to many followers of Jesus leaving Jerusalem and relocating to new places. And some of them relocated as far as Antioch, which is 300 miles north of Jerusalem in modern-day Turkey. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire during the time. And so these followers of Jesus, none of them were apostles, none of them were paid ministers of the gospel. They come to Antioch, and because they follow Jesus, because they just so believed this message that God is reconciling sinners as his sons and daughters by grace alone, through faith alone, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ alone. Because they so believed this message, they just start sharing it with their new neighbors because that's who God's put in their path. Now, you have to understand that these followers of Jesus were Greek-speaking Jewish Christians. So at first, they just speak the gospel to Jews only because that's who they're comfortable with and what they're used to. But in Antioch, they come across all these Hellenists. These are Greek-speaking non-Jews. And they realize, well, we love this message of reconciliation, these people that need reconciled to God so much that they start speaking the gospel to people they weren't previously very comfortable with. And the hand of the Lord was on these ordinary Christians. And people start following Jesus, and the very first Gentile church is started in the city of Antioch. But here's my point. Do you notice how this church was planted? No apostles were there. No paid professionals were there. These were ordinary Christian. By ordinary, I mean people that worked regular jobs, had regular families, and shared the gospel and their very lives with their new neighbors, their new coworkers, because they loved the message of reconciliation and loved those who need reconciled. How are churches planted? Churches are not planted primarily through slick strategic planning and the incredible gifts of a few professionals, as wonderful as those things can be. Healthy churches are planted by churches made up of people, ordinary people, that share the gospel and life with those that God has just providentially put in their path. So here's the first question I want all of us to consider as we think through, how are we going to be a church planting church? The question is this: how will you share the gospel and your life with those in your path? How will you, in whatever stage of life you are, at school, at work, in your neighborhood, how will you share the gospel and your life with those that God's already put into your path? Maybe some questions to consider in helping you get at this are, one, what do you already love doing? And two, who is God already put in your daily or weekly life? You see, sharing the gospel in life doesn't necessarily mean doing a lot of new things. As one pastor has said, it's really just doing what you're already doing among the people that are already in your path with gospel intentionality, with greater gospel intentionality. So someone who's been an inspiration for me in this is someone you may remember, Jameson Parker. Jameson used to be part of our staff here at City Light. He's now the senior pastor of a church in Southern Illinois. But Jameson, even before he was a pastor, just inspired me in the way he would share the gospel and his life with those who didn't yet follow Jesus. So, for example, Jameson and I love to run. So we decided that we would join the Manayunk Running Club because we just thought, well, we already love to run. Let's just do what we're already doing with greater gospel intentionality. And so I was always inspired. Like, when I would go on these runs, I was just trying to survive. Jameson, on the other hand, stewarded every group run as this opportunity just to ask people about their life and their faith. And then because Jameson was so much faster than everybody else, when they were exhausted, he'd just share his perspective as well. And I remember kind of laughing at it at the time, but it was incredibly fruitful. There's actually some people in this church who are here because they went running with Jameson. He wasn't doing a bunch of new things. He wasn't a paid professional. He was just an ordinary follower of Jesus doing what he was already doing with gospel intentionality. How might that happen in your life? How can you share the gospel and your life with those who are already in your path? The first way that churches are planted, it's by churches made up of people who share the gospel and life with those who are already in their path. Second, how are churches planted? Through healthy churches. Churches are planted through healthy churches. So in Acts 11, we see that the church at Antioch is planted just by ordinary, everyday followers of Jesus, not apostles, not paid professionals. And then the question arises, how did they go from being a church plant to a church planting church? And honestly, the answer is, what happened between them being planted and them being a church planting church? They became a healthy church. They became a healthy church. If you read Acts 11, 22 to 30, what you see is that once this church is planted in Antioch, the mother church back in Jerusalem hears about it, and they send a leader to them named Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement, and he was this real encouraging type of leader. And they send him to lead and to encourage and to build up this brand new church at Antioch. So he goes there, and he's immediately encouraged because he sees God's grace all over them. Nevertheless, he stays there and specifically teaches the church to remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast. Now, those are really important things for new churches experiencing sort of abnormal, explosive growth to be taught. Remain faithful to the Lord even when it's not going this well. Remain steadfast in your purpose, because honestly, when a church grows, it's so easy to get distracted. And so Barnabas is there building them up in steadfastness and faithfulness, and it ends up being really fruitful. More people get saved, more people join the church, and Barnabas is overwhelmed. And so he goes and he finds this man named Saul. We know him as Paul. Paul comes to Antioch, and together they lead this church, and it becomes mature and healthy. And they become so healthy that at the end of Acts 11, we see that not only are they faithful and steadfast, but they're so generous with their money that they're actually giving money back to the Jerusalem church to help them during a time of famine. What happened between them being planted and them becoming a church planting church? They became a healthy church. Healthy churches are the best mothers for new churches. Now, I still remember when Andrea was, you know, pregnant with our first child, like we pulled out all the stops. You know, it was like, you're going to do the vitamins, you're going to do the exercise, the food, fish oil, of course, you know, you got to get the salmon eggs, like whatever we can do. Why? Because the health of the mother has a profound effect on the health of the child. And the Bible really continues this metaphor by calling local churches bodies. How will we plant churches? By this body being as healthy as possible so that we can reproduce in a way that's as healthy as possible. So here's the second question I want us to begin considering this morning. How will you seek to be a healthy member of this body? How will you seek to be a healthy member of this body? Honestly, I want us to continually grow as the kind of church that's worth reproducing. And that's going to take all of us working together to build the church up in love, just as it did in Antioch. And so keeping with the healthy body metaphor, I want to ask maybe a little bit more specific question. I'll tell you why this question in a moment. Thinking about, will you seek to be a healthy body member, body part? Will you pursue vital intimacy with the head of the body, Jesus Christ? Specifically, will you pursue vital intimacy with the head of the body, Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why I asked that question in particular. I don't mean this as flattery, but honestly, City Light, I see a lot of the church at Antioch in you. They became a faithful church. And honestly, I see that in you. You're a faithful people. You're faithful with your time. One of my greatest joys is to see so many of you give so much of your time to being in rich, deep community with each other. I know we can always grow in that, but I look around and I go, wow, some of you just are you're so faithful with your time to one another in Christian community. I love that. You're also so incredibly faithful with your talents. I've never been part of a church where more people serve more regularly to build up the body of Christ. I see this in you. You guys are faithful with your time and with your talent. You're also faithful with your treasure. Do you know that we have made budget every single year since we were planted because you're so faithful with your treasure as well. So I see this in you. But I'll tell you, the reason I ask, will you pursue vital intimacy with the head of the body, Jesus Christ? Like, the reason why this year our strategic focus as a church is becoming a praying family, and I mean this in love, I do sometimes get concerned that some of us may love the experience of this church more than we love to experience the intimacy of the head of this church, Jesus Christ. You know, honestly, sometimes I get concerned that some of us pursue intimacy with one another even over intimacy with the Father. And that's why this year, as you consider how can I seek to become a healthy member of this body, would you pursue intimacy with the head of the church, Jesus Christ? I don't want us to be a church that's always busy about the work of the Father without enjoying the intimacy of the Father. Yeah, I've been in the new year reading this book by John Owen called Communion with God. As you can see from where I'm flipping, I'm really far into it. But he writes in this book, the response from us that God looks for in return for his love is love. He goes on, when the believer sees God as love, sees him to be infinitely lovely and loving, and finds rest and peace for his soul in that love, then the believer has communion with the Father in love. Love is a feeling or emotion of union and delight and desire to be near the object loved. That's what I want for us, City Light. I want us to have union and delight and desire to be near God the Father as our ultimate object of love because he loves us so much. To be a church planting church, we need to be a healthy church. And specifically for us, I want to encourage us to pursue intimacy with the Father. Now, if you're wondering, like, how practically can I do that? I think Matt Chandler is right when he writes, find the things that stir your affections for Christ and saturate your life in them. Find the things that rob you of that affection and walk away from them. I mean, this is one of the main reasons why we're praying through the Bible as a church this year. It's because it's in praying God's word back to him that we experience this love from the Father and express our love back to him in prayer, in joy, in gratitude, and in obedience. So how will we plant churches? First, churches are planted through ordinary people sharing the gospel and life, and churches are planted by healthy churches. Third, this one very quickly, how are churches planted? How will we plant churches? Through a dependent church. Through a dependent church. At the end of Acts 11, Saul and Barnabas are sent back to Jerusalem to take all that money and give it to the Jerusalem church to give them relief in the midst of their famine. But then at the end of Acts 12, Saul and Barnabas come back to the church at Antioch. And when we come into Acts 13, we see a prayer meeting going on. This is Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. It says, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. This is a really diverse church. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. It's not clear whether this was their normal sort of Lord's Day Sunday gathering or a special prayer meeting, but here's what we know. The fact that they were praying, fasting, and listening to the Holy Spirit reveals that this was an incredibly intense time of devotion and dependence on the Lord for their future. Healthy churches are planted by needy, dependent churches who cast themselves completely upon the Holy Spirit's power to be a church that can plant churches, that can plant churches. So very practically, here's what I'm inviting you into. You heard earlier that on Thursday night, January 31st, that week we'll have canceled all of our city groups to make space for all of us to gather here in this room, 7 p.m., for a night of prayer and worship. And we are going to pray and fast, and yes, we're even going to listen to the Holy Spirit for specifically City Light Delco. I mean, we're even going to have a time where we go, Holy Spirit, reveal. Is there anyone who's not yet part of this launch team that you want to go and be part of it? Why are we doing this? Because we believe that to plant a healthy church, we need to be a dependent church. So will you come on Thursday the 31st and be part of our church being a dependent people? If you'd like, consider maybe fasting one meal each Thursday leading up to Thursday the 31st. Give yourself some time to pray individually. Then we'll come together and pray corporately because churches are planted through dependent churches. Now, finally, how will we plant churches? Through a sent church. Through a sent church. Acts 13, verses 3 to 4. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. I do think that's amazing where it says the church sent them out and the Holy Spirit sent them out. Who was it? Yeah, both. You see, the church at Antioch, for all its health, did not become a church planting church until some of its members, in this case two, were willing to leave the comforts, the familiarities, the joys of the church at Antioch, and say goodbye for the sake of starting a new church in a new place to make more disciples of Jesus to the glory of God. Some people have to be sent. So here is the question I want us to consider, each and every one of us, myself included. Will you prayerfully consider joining the team being sent to start City Light Delco? Now, before you just immediately think of all the reasons why that's not possible, I just want to remind you, God is God over your life. God is God over my life. So will you at least ask, will you prayerfully consider joining the team being sent to start City Light Delco? Like, if you're here with your roommate or your spouse, keep the other one accountable to actually pray this. Because in order for new churches to be started in new places to make more disciples of Jesus to the glory of God, some people have to take the exhilarating step of being the ones sent. We already have just over 20 adults committed to the City Light launch team for City Light Delco, but we want to have at least 40 adults committed by the end of March. Will you prayerfully consider being part of it? Now look, I'm not going to sugarcoat this for you. This is going to cost you. If you join the launch team for City Light Delco, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your independence because we're asking everyone who joins the launch team to become a covenant member of this church where we depend on one another. It's also going to cost you your time. We're asking everyone who's a member of the launch team to be willing to serve more often than is necessary here at City Light Manayunk because we have more people. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your future. We're asking everyone who joins the launch team to, as best as they can, commit to being part of City Light Delco for at least 2 years. It's going to cost you your future. It's going to cost some of you your home because we're asking those who join the launch team to love and live in the community that we're hoping to reach with the gospel. It could cost you your home. It could cost you your money. We're asking those who join the launch team to give sacrificially to City Light. And if you're already giving, we're asking everyone who joins the team to at least prayerfully consider giving more. It's going to cost money. And it's lastly going to cost you a meal because we're asking everyone who joins the launch team to share at least one meal a month with someone in Delco who doesn't yet follow Jesus. This is going to cost you. And I imagine that for some of us, the question is, why would I ever pay that cost? I mean, maybe you're here this morning and you're just like kind of checking Christianity out. You're like, dude, I just came because the person next to me is incredibly attractive. Like, why? Why would I pay this cost? Why would anyone else here consider that? Why would you do it? Why would you pay these costs I just rattled off? think the answer is the message is worth the cost. The message is worth the cost. See, we're not asking anyone to do stuff. We're asking everyone to consider what God would have them do out of the overflow of what Christ has done. It's the message that motivates our mission. Let me remind you of the message that is worth any cost. The message of the gospel begins with really good news. There is a holy creator God who created each and every one of you in his image and likeness to glorify and enjoy him forever. It was very good. But then bad news. Each and every one of us, like Adam and Eve, instead of glorifying and enjoying God forever, have committed ourselves to the kingdom of self. And as a result, are under God's just judgment, deserving his eternal wrath. That's the bad news. But at the heart of the message is the wondrous news that God is reconciling sinners like you and me as his sons and daughters forever by grace alone, through faith alone, in the perfect life, the sacrificial death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, such that if you put your hope in Jesus Christ, though you die, yet you will live. You know, this week, I had the privilege of doing the funeral service for a dear brother in our church who passed away last Friday. And to be honest with you, in a church like ours, you might not be surprised to learn I've never done a funeral before. And in trying to just discern, like, what could possibly be said, the words of Jesus came to mind in John 11, where he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet he will live." It's a tragedy what we've lost, and yet at the same time, Jesus' words remind us that our brother, though he died, yet he will live. That's the message that's worth every cost. That's the message that we're taking to Delco so that more people can become disciples of Jesus, experiencing life out of death through his life, death, and resurrection. That is the message I want to call you to believe, and it's the message that's worth any cost. That's why I can, with a straight face, ask you, would you prayerfully consider joining the City Light Delco launch team? Because the message is worth the cost. It's like the late, great Jim Elliot famously wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So we're going to respond now in a way that's different than our norm. I'm going to ask the band to come forward. They're going to play quietly. And I want us all to have a little time with the Lord privately right now. But privately, you and your couple hundred favorite friends. And here's the question I want you to consider before the Lord as the band plays. And we're going to give you a couple minutes with this. You'll see on the screen behind me, what next step or steps are you calling me to? Not as a legalist. Not, what do I need to do so that God will be pleased with me? No, what is God calling me to do out of the overflow of all that Christ has done? Motivated by grace, God, what are you calling me to? What next step or steps? And you'll see there are some different things for you to consider as you're praying. When, after a few minutes, we will stand and worship the God who has reconciled us to himself as sons and daughters. If you're a follower of Jesus, as we sing these songs of worship, please come to the tables in front or back to partake in communion. Tear off a piece of bread, symbolizing Jesus' body. Dip in the cup, symbolizing his blood that was shed. Eat it and remember the message of eternal life through Jesus Christ that's worth any cost. As you're partaking in communion, there'll be folks in the back that would love to pray with you, or you can come to the front and share encouragements from God's word that we'll test and communicate as appropriate. Why don't you take some time right now to consider what next step or steps is God calling you to, motivated by all the grace that is in Jesus Christ alone?